All of the views and opinions expressed here are those of the individual speaking and may not be representative of Coding American. At times, language may be considered vulgar. Listener discretion is suggested.
You are now listening to the Coding Behind the Wheel podcast.
What's good? Welcome back to another episode of Wheel Wednesday. We've made it. I'm Scott from Koenig, but this gentleman right here, first time you're seeing him, this is Luis.
I'm Luis.
And Luis is on our marketing team, and if you have sent us a message through social media, there's a good chance that you've spoken to him or myself or Nick or, you know, maybe somebody else that was hopping in to answer some questions. So I wanted to bring him on. Nick is doing something today, so I figured this was a good opportunity for, one, you to be able to meet Luis, and two, for us to wear goofy headphones together.
Yeah, man.
So
I'm excited. I get to watch these guys all the time, so it's cool to kind of be, looking at the camera now this time.
He's a liar. He's a liar. No, not one of us really wants to do this. But so today I thought, you know, we've been working hard planning SEMA, and kind of that's the nature of this time of year. And I think that the one thing, you know, you've been here, what, now 4 years? Almost 4 years?
Almost, yeah, which is crazy.
It goes really fast, right?
It really does, yeah. But it's going to be 4 years. But, yeah, this is my third SEMA now.
Right. So, yeah. Yeah, so it goes really fast. And, you know, from our calendar – in the automotive world, SEMA, you know, our years are marked really SEMA to SEMA, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that that's what's interesting is that, you know, everybody that may not be on the manufacturer side of thing, if you're out there watching from home and, you know, you've never been to SEMA, or you're not in the automotive trades, or you're not able to experience what SEMA's like from the inside point of view, or from even the back end point of view mm-hmm. that we experience, mm-hmm. SEMA is one of those things. You know, we launch a lot of new products there, and in addition to that, it's also a good time that we get to have conversations with a lot of our customers that come from all over the world, because everybody kind of ascends onto Las Vegas.
Yeah.
That time. So, you know, one of the things that we did, we finished a podcast, I believe it was last week or 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. where we talked about I think it was last week. We did the diameter, right?
I think last week was – there wasn't SEMA car last.
I don't remember. Sure. Anyhow, yeah. So one of the podcasts we did was we talked about the diameter of wheels and how to choose the right size for your car. Oh, yeah. And I remember when we did that, I actually thought that that was going to be super primitive and no one would really find any value in that. We put it up and we come to find out that there was a lot of people that actually said, oh, this is great. That helps me. And so I'm trying to remember about what things are – I may take as very basic, but really in reality, there's a lot of people that find some interesting parts of it. And SEMA, I think, is one of those pieces.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's one of the questions that we get asked a lot about. Well, you guys did that podcast about how to get your car to SEMA, which even I found that interesting, because the process and what, you know, what these builders do to get their car ready for SEMA.
Right.
It's absolutely cool. You know what I mean? So for me, as a fan, and watching these cars start from the basic and get built to SEMA ready is absolutely dope.
And that's one of the interesting things. You've actually been here long enough now where you've seen us pick multiple vehicles for booths for us to get involved with a builder mm-hmm. before, like months and months and months before they even – sometimes before they even buy a car.
Yeah.
We get involved and we start making plans, and you realize how long it actually takes to build a SEMA vehicle or end up with your car at SEMA.
Yeah, like the B is for Build dude. What's his name?
Chris,
yeah. Well, you guys probably know Chris.
There's clapback going on right now in the comments, but it's cool.
I remember, like, you know, some of the cars that he's built, like, he showed us bare bones. And the way that he makes it, well, obviously you guys get to see it through his YouTube channel. It's just amazing, you know what I mean? And seeing him build that one car that we had, the Datsun.
The 240,
That car went from, like, literally seeing it when he bought it and going from bare bones mm-hmm. to getting mm-hmm. it SEMA ready was insane.
Yeah.
And to me, even seeing it at the booth and everything, it was just gorgeous, man. And that's dope.
Yeah.
Getting to see that is an experience on its own.
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. And what was interesting was to me is that, you know, and this is – all right. So this is a little behind the scenes of what happened last year with Chris and that 240 was that we – at one point we had said, you know, Chris had come to us and he'd said, hey, look, you know, we're going to do this 240. Mm-hmm. And, you know, is there any interest in it? You know, he started building it a little bit. Mm-hmm. And we were kind of on board just to do wheels there. Mm-hmm. And he's like, my hope is to get this car to go to SEMA. And I said to him, well, that's cool. How about we put you in a feature spot? Right? Oh, remember that whole thing?
Yeah.
So now a feature spot, if for those of you who don't know, there's two different spots that you have at SEMA. There's a feature car spot and then there's a booth vehicle spot. Mm-hmm. The prestigious spot that everybody wants is the inside booth vehicle spot, because that means you're one of the cars that's being shown by a manufacturer to display their products. Now, what's interesting about this is that when you have a booth vehicle, like for us as Koenig, when we put our booth vehicles in for the year, we have to decide months in advance because, one, SEMA wants you to request – they want to know, like, where – right? We have to fill out those forms. Yes, and yep. So they want to know
– they know ahead of time.
Yep, right. Yep. They have to know, like, which cars you're going to put in your booth. Not sure why, but they do. So we have to fill it out. The second thing is a lot of times we're debuting product that we've never displayed there before. That didn't happen in Chris's case, but I'll get to that. But basically what happened was we have to order those wheels, you know, months in advance, you know, especially if they're brand new wheels. Like we're always kind of coming down to the wire, air freighting things back and forth. And, you know, if you don't know the vehicle, it's tough to order the wheels, right? Mm-hmm. But in addition to that, putting something in your booth, it happens months in advance. And because of that, one of the things that you really have to think about mm-hmm. is this vehicle going to be done? Mm-hmm. Is it going to show up?
Yep.
Is it right? Is it going to make it on time? Because here's what's happening. If for some reason your booth vehicle doesn't show up, you don't have another booth vehicle. It's not like you can go out to the parking lot, find something with your wheels on it, and say, you know what? You come in. It's not what happens. It's not what's supposed to happen. Have we finagled some things in
I've
years?
Heard some stories,
right.
By the way. I've heard some stories with some of the guys talking about how it's come down to the wire to literally like them thinking they're not even going to have a car there.
Listen, it's been
to even we, rolling cars.
You move cars in Saturday, Sunday, sometimes on Monday. The show starts at Tuesday and ends on Friday. So sometimes a Monday morning, like you're really not trying to move cars in after that because there's a lot of setup that goes on, and it's hard to get cars into booths. And if you're interested in any of this stuff, comment below, and maybe we'll share some of these horror stories with you. But okay. I've been on the show floor, literally laying on the booth floor, you know. And keep in mind that you know we arrive like usually on Saturday, and we get there on Saturday, and you know we get there in the morning. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, we work, you know, 12, 14-hour days. And we'll get to this in a minute because this is one of the things I wanted to bring Luis on the podcast for because I was like, oh, this is an interesting perspective. But, you know, I've been there, you know, working these long days. And by the time you even get to Monday and the show hasn't even started yet, you're exhausted, right? Mm-hmm. And I've been there at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, on Monday laying on the floor praying – that there would still be somebody here that we can like sneak cars in because the car hadn't shown up yet, right? Mm-hmm. I've been there. I've been there when a car is on the way to the show and catches on fire, or one of those rigs or one of the tow rigs catch you know has an issue and the car doesn't show up and it's a nightmare.
One of the things that people don't understand is how huge this show is. It's right. Like I thought like you know I was thinking it was like a you know because I've been to conventions like you know. I'm a dork, so I'm a big comic book dude, you know what I mean? So I've been to, like, comic conventions and stuff.
Yeah.
So that's what I was assuming.
Right.
When I walk into this thing, I'm thinking this there's, like, different sections.
Yeah.
There's a whole nother building that was going on, too, with other builds. I'm like, what? This is insane. I couldn't even get through, like, 25% of it
right.
in one day. It's insane.
No, you can't. You can't. I mean, listen, you could – and here's the thing. People understand – SEMA is not a car show.
Mm-hmm. That's like,
we hear this all the time.
Yeah.
People say, it's not a car show. You can't just get your car to go to SEMA. It just doesn't happen. It's not a car show. It's a trade show. So it's there to show the automotive aftermarket vehicles and products, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. You know, there are some OEs there like Ford and Hyundai and
–
well, I mean most of the OEs are there, Nissan and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. They come there to show their new models or whatever it may be. But – for the most part, these are aftermarket, you know, manufacturers showing off their parts.
So question, because to be featured, do you have to be featured underneath a brand always?
You mean the feature vehicles
out in the front?
Yep. Right. So let's get back to that because I'm skipping around a little bit.
Okay.
So there's two types of vehicles. There's booth vehicles and then there's feature vehicles. Mm-hmm. So Chris's car, originally we signed him up and we said, hey, look, you're going to be a you want to go to take the car to SEMA? We'll spend the money because it still costs manufacturers some money to buy what they call a feature car spot. Mm-hmm. So we got him a feature car spot and we said, hey, no problem. Keep building your car. We'll help you get that dream of bringing a car to SEMA done. Mm-hmm. And he was super happy and appreciative. And as the build went on, you know, we could tell that it was going to be something really special.
Yeah. Pretty much
the moment that Chris bought, you know, the rectangular tubing to build the chassis, I was like, oh, no, this is way more than I thought it was going to be. Mm. So we decided that we were just going to bankroll in and go all in with Chris. And I believe, you know, I've been working with Chris for a few years now. You know,
yeah,
we have.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's always extremely honest, extremely straightforward, coolest hardworking.
Yeah.
Really is.
Coolest dude. Yeah.
And just, you know, what's interesting is he's really exactly the same in front of the camera as he is behind.
He is. Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Very humble
guy, too.
Like really humble, yeah.
It's weird because, you know, you meet some of these people and yep. I get to deal with a lot of these cool, you know, cool builders and stuff. And a lot of them allow the fame to get to them a little bit sometimes. Chris has always been the type that, you know, he's always level.
True.
He's stayed the same since the beginning, and he hasn't changed since then.
Yeah.
Anyways, just
it's true. Yeah, I mean, he's over a million subscribers now, and I think we had just met him when he had like 49,000 or 50,000. I mean, it's pretty crazy when you think about being able to watch somebody all the way through. But so it was right at that point, and I said, you know, I remember saying to you, like, I think we're going to just bankroll into this thing. I think we should have him in our booth.
Yeah.
Like, I think he should be our booth vehicle.
Yeah, yeah. What a choice, too.
Right. It was a great choice. Yeah. But I will say that it was a nerve-wracking thing because if the car didn't show up, if there was something that happened where we got into a situation where Chris couldn't make it, the car wasn't done. I remember that, too.
It was like to the wire.
Yeah,
too.
We've dealt with cars not running before. We're actually, you know, listen, when you have done SEMA, I mean, this is, like I said, I'm not really fazed by SEMA anymore because I still love it. But this is my 14th SEMA, right?
Jeez.
So, but when you do SEMA like this, one of the interesting things is you get used to knowing that there's an element of smoke and mirrors,
mm-hmm.
right? Mm-hmm. A lot of great builds that come out, and if you look carefully, they don't have drive belts on them.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of cars that you go through, and you realize, oh, there's no wiring. Like, so car's not running. So if Chris is, you know, at the end of the day, if Chris said, to, you know, we got down to the wire, the car was done, it looked done, and we had to push it in, we were okay and prepared for that to happen. Because remember, he had a. If you're not familiar with Chris's Datsun build. The 240 had the drivetrain out of a BMW, M5 BMW. So it had I think it's an M54, but had the V10 drivetrain in it. And, you know, to getting a lot of the, you know, he was using a lot of their stuff, but it was outside the car. So getting the harness all set up, getting the car not to be in limp mode, there were a lot of features there that he wasn't sure if he can get to work outside of the car, especially since they had really thinned out the harness.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of things there, but he ended up getting the car to run. He did drive the car in, and it was a great moment. But there were some moments there where we were like, I don't know if the car's going to make it.
Yeah.
So, but what I wanted to talk about today, and I think this is interesting, is, you know, telling people maybe that haven't been to SEMA mm-hmm. what it was like to go for your first time.
Whoa. So, I mean, I was excited. Luckily,
yeah.
You know, I was very excited to come. I was expecting also because you think you're going to Vegas.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you're like, you know.
It's going to be a good time.
There's
going to be a lot of awesome things that happen there.
No, not at all. Well, so this is the thing. Waking up 6 in the morning, you know, setting up everything. People don't understand how, like I said, one of the things that people don't understand is how huge this show is.
Right.
So we're waking up at 6 in the morning. Leaving there, I can't. Sometimes,
it's late.
Like
you know,
eight p.m.
Sometimes, you know, we've had days a little longer. I think the year you came, we were pretty under control.
Yes, yeah, and for me, it was a lot. So it's like I'm thinking, oh, you know what? I'm gonna check out Vegas. Nope. As soon as I get hit, I'm ready to go to sleep, and then again, wake up in the morning, help set up and stuff like that.
Yeah, and it's there's.
Yeah.
There's a lot. And there's things that happen, you know, as you go on, mm-hmm. you know, whether it be, you know, you have meet, you know, because you are there to work, you know, for, mm-hmm. from our end, we're, you know, we're there to work. So, you know, we'll have, you know, meetings set up and then, you know, it's right after dinner. It's before dinner. Sometimes it's during dinner. Mm-hmm. There are some industry things that, you know, we tend to try to get to. There's a lot of industry parties that people probably heard about it. I stopped going a few years ago. I just think it takes, you know, I don't know how people, and maybe I'm, you know, getting a little older, so it's a little harder now, but I don't know how people do the party till, you know, 3 a.m., go back, sleep in the hotel room till 6:15,
yeah.
get up, come to the show and sit on the show, stand on the show floor all day. Because you stand on the floor for 9 hours. You speak to people on the floor for 9 hours.
It's funny too, because me and some of the Koenig fellas and stuff like that, we were like, you know what, let's try to go out somewhere and do something. We went, I was literally falling asleep at the, like sitting there at the bar, like I can't do this, I have to wake up. And then yeah. also the thought of knowing that I have to wake up at 6 a.m.
right.
I'm like, I'm not, so I don't even know how people do that, but
right.
it's just it's an experience, because you get like it, for especially for people who love cars and are enthusiasts yep. and stuff like that. This is one of those events that you need to be at. But as far as it's just tiring. As far as when you're working at it, it's a different ballgame, you know.
So it's like it's, you know, and what's your first impression? Like when you walk through those first doors.
Yeah.
Right? You walk into the lobby.
Well, one of the things, and for me,
yeah,
felt exclusivo. Felt kind of cool. I felt cool. I'm like I felt cool. I, you know, because you know, a lot of people I know for a fact that not the public is not allowed to come, you know, the public's not allowed to come in. So I felt cool that I was able to see things before everybody right. else.
And, you know, and the public's not allowed in. And one thing that happens is if you're a buyer or a lot of times certain media aspects, exhibitors get in before everybody.
Mm-hmm.
We get in earlier on show days. We can stay in the hall after the show's open.
Mm-hmm.
We are allowed to be in there days before the show starts because we're setting up.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have an exhibitor badge, it's kind of the more full access badge because you're supposed to be setting up.
Mm-hmm.
So you can mm-hmm. – and you know, for 14 years, I've only seen any bit of the show after hours or on the days before the show.
Mm-hmm.
So – for me, like I, you know, I try to make it a point that usually, like on Sunday or Monday night, depending on how out in control we are, that's the night that I'll quickly run out of the booth and I'll try to buzz through all the important stuff. And you know, a lot of stuff set up in there. Some of it's not, but mm-hmm. so let's go back to you.
Mm-hmm.
You walk through those lobby doors,
yeah,
and you get in there, and you're like, "What's the first impression?" Like as you start to move your way into the hall.
Well, so you know, I'm seeing everybody setting up, and I like I said, I get to see some of these builds that, you know, a lot of you guys are probably seeing being built, and I'm the first person to look at it, so that's insane in its own right.
Right.
So one of the things that I always remember too is walking through, and you know, because I get to, before everybody starts to get there, I wanted to kind of check it out because it was my first time.
Right.
So one of the cool things that I get to do also is, like, you know, I'm having conversations with people. He's like, "Oh yeah," I'm like, "This is my first time." And one of the first people that I interacted with was Adam LZ.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, but the thing is, for other people who are, like, you know, car enthusiasts, this is probably a big deal. To me, I'm like, I'm thinking I'm talking to some normal dude, you know what I mean?
Well, but, he's a normal dude.
Well, yeah, obviously. But he's, you know, he's a celebrity, and these are the type of things that I get to deal with and get to experience that other people don't get to.
Yeah.
Being that I get to be in there. So, yeah, I think, like I said, it was just a very overwhelming too, you know, because there's right. a lot going on, you know,
right.
everybody's setting up. I don't know where I'm at for, I remember too.
Wait, this is good. I think you're talking about the lost situation, right?
Yeah. So I get lost and look, I'm like literally walk. So I start to just walk, you know, and I keep walking, keep walking. And I'm like, where the heck am I? Like, I don't know where I am. So then luckily one of the employees saw that I look lost and he's like, "Hey, do you want me to take you to where you need to go?" I was like, "Yeah, well, I need to go to this part of the..." So he puts me behind his little... What are those things?
Yeah, the little golf cart thing.
Yeah, the little golf cart thing, and I got a ride back to where I was supposed to go. But
yeah,
it's just funny because that's how huge and massive that the
yeah.
whole event is. That you, like, I would need to get a ride back to where I was. You
yeah.
know? So it's just crazy.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's like if you're... You know, if you had to go from, you know, South Hall's on one side and then North Hall obviously is on the other. But there's, you know, Central Hall in between, and there's, you know, multiple layers, multiple levels on some of these halls. So when you say to somebody, if you have to go from, you know, let's say South Hall lower to North Hall, you know, it could take you 25, 30 minutes to make that walk just to that hall.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, because there's a lot of people and stuff like that. So you make that walk, and then you have to, you know, find your location. So, you know, we sent Luis out to go look for a couple things or go say hi to a few people.
Yeah, yeah.
And he comes back, and he was very like, I'm like, where have you been? I mean, hours later. He's like, well, I walked up here. I couldn't find the booth. And then I'm walking around, and then all of a sudden he's like, I got lost. And it is. I mean, listen, it's a
– it's like its own little town. That's the weird, but it's like weird because every hall, how much is going on.
Every hall is one of those halls that if you were to walk through each hall,
yep,
on its own merits. And remember, there's outside elements to the show.
Yep.
If you were to walk you through each hall and really, you know, try to walk through and see every booth by doing the actual maze.
I'm pretty sure no one can see the whole thing,
right?
In like the time that they go visit. You have to go like at least 3 years for you to complete the whole thing. Because that's how massive it is.
And, you know, and the good thing is that for the most part, you know, and that's why they break it up into categorized halls. You know, South Hall lower is the wheel and tire hall, and upstairs is usually where you'll have a lot of the off-road and truck segments and stuff like that. Central Hall is usually – it's been known as kind of the old performance hall. Mm-hmm. And North Hall is where you'll tend to find some of the consumer electronics like you know, your audio companies. It's when you kind of find some of the performance stuff that's in there, and, you know, kind of a mishmash in there as well. Then there's the outside elements. You know, there's a tread pass that goes in between the halls, mm-hmm. Where Toyo is in there, and they put a lot of cool cars into that area. There's drifting out front. BMW and Mercedes sometimes are set up outside with different ride and drives, mostly BMW. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they have – Ford puts out some stuff with drifting. There's off-roading stuff. They set up – they bring in dirt, and they have the whole thing. Hootigan's outside. So,
this is 25%, by the way, still. That's not even.
Not even. Yeah, there's a lot. So you walk through these halls, and the feeling of
being there is overwhelming. It's overwhelming, exciting at the same time. You know?
Yeah.
So, that, like I said, the one feeling that I had was I was grateful for being there. But eventually you get tired, and I wanted to just—I got tired. After a few days, I was like, "All right, I'm done." You know.
Right.
What I mean? But yeah, no, it's an exciting event. You know, for those who get to experience it, you know, I think it's a once in a lifetime type of thing, and
sometimes
I'm grateful for it. You know, for sure.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting thing. So, if you have the opportunity to go to SEMA, if you're a shop or somebody in the industry, or if you can somehow backdoor your way in, right? Then I think it's an interesting opportunity. So, I don't know. Tell me, was there anything else that really stood out to you going to SEMA for the first time?
I mean, so much, you know what I mean? Like, for instance, the year that I went to, who was the feature that we had? The booth vehicle that we had. It was the 180 SX. Was it the 180 SX?
No, they all started to blend into one each another. I don't know.
Well, anyways, getting to hang out with I forget his name because I'm drawing a blank.
Oh, you're talking about Rob.
Rob.
Oh, yes. He's talking about Chairslayer. Rob Parsons. Chairslayer.
Yeah. So I got to, you know, sorry that, you know, it's just I'm thinking of so many things.
Clearly, it left an impact on him. I mean,
no, but the truth is, he's another one of those guys that
cool dude.
Know, yeah. Very humble, cool dude. Getting to hang out with him, and because you know things were going on, I got to spend a lot of time with him, and that's one of the cool things about those guys. Also, he came with the big dude from Hoonigan's.
We're talking about Hurt?
Hurt. So I got to hang – oh, and that whole story that happened with his back and everything and stuff like that. But getting to hang out with those guys and – Sorry, guys.
Hurt – I mean, this is his story to tell, not mine. Story, but, yeah. I mean, he fell out of bed and onto his back at some point. So he was like immobile for for the show.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
So he was walking around like next to Rob. And
yeah,
yeah.
Pretty,
yeah.
That's one of those experiences that I, like I said, a lot of people don't get to have, but I get to get personal with these dudes that are, you know, YouTube stars or whatever they may be, whatever it is that they are, you know, I get to kind of experience them on a personal level.
Right.
And to me, that was really dope because I, you know, a lot of people don't get those chances and I get to through Koenig, you know, so I, you know, that's one of those things that stood out,
right?
Hanging out with Rob and doing the silly shenanigans that we got to do and stuff like that. So that stood out for me, you know, because like I said, a lot of people don't get to experience it. They're fans. I'm a fan and I got to just hang out with them as a fan, but them also seeing me as a peer in some type of sense, you know?
So what's interesting is about Luis is that, Luis is not an inherent car guy. He likes cars, and he's had a fair share of his own little car things. But Luis kind of came into us. Luis is a break dancer. I know.
Break, what? You know, that's what I do sometimes.
Right. But and not like a, like, not like, I don't want to get into naming people.
Yeah.
But not like the videos that we saw the other day on YouTube. Yeah.
Which I got to make one. We got to make a call out one for them too.
No, I don't think we're going to be announcing that. But listen, so Luis is a legit B-boy. And if you want to go check it out, I'll have Nick. I'm sure in the beginning, we probably already did. Nick will put in your handle. But go check him out on Instagram. You can see what I'm talking about. Luis is like a legit B-boy, judges a lot of competitions, kind of well-known within his area. And a few years ago when we had the opportunity to be looking for somebody to come on board, you know, listen, there's a lot of what we do, that, you know, having to be a super car guy, and then there's having the appreciation for cars and kind of having this lifestyle piece, and break dancing kind of
– it's weird, yeah.
Has a lot of crossover.
Yeah, it's weird because I have a lot of friends who are – car dudes, but then they're like b-boys, too, hardcore b-boys, and it kind of goes hand in hand. It's weird,
right?
Like we've talked about this before. It's very similar type of lifestyle brand, like type of like a, I don't know, like
it's like a lifestyle.
Like two guys, you know, a car guy and a b-boy will vibe very easily,
right? And that's, you know? And that seemed to be what happened, and the chemistry was good when Luis came in, and it was just, you know, sometimes you interview people, and he was like one of those ones when he left. I'm like, man, like, he just feels like a fit here, and he has been. So,
thanks, man. Thanks.
But it's interesting because the more we go on and we realize, like, people that are really big in the brake community, we'll find out, like, oh, they're car guys.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, for sure. Like, the Hoonigans work with a few dudes that I know, you know?
Right, like artists and stuff like that.
Ewok and stuff like that.
Yeah,
they
right.
He did a wall for them,
right.
A graph wall for them. So it's, like, very hand in hand.
Right.
Like I said, a lot of people, we know each other. It's, like... very random,
right? Yeah. And I don't know if I'll tell you that, like, I've been to SEMA for 14 years. Mm-hmm. In those 14 years, I've done a lot of interesting things. You know, Kicker used to put on a show, and they used to have, you know, all these, like, you know, they used to do like this motocross thing in the parking lot and the Hard Rock, the jump things. Like, I can't tell you, I can't go into detail about how many amazing, incredible experiences I've had going to SEMA, working for a company, and having access to certain events, whether it be getting into VIP areas or whatever it may be, and meeting people. You know, like, I mean, I was always a big fan of that show, A Deadliest Catch, and so one of the VIP parties they actually had Phil Harris, which you don't know, Phil Harris and you know, Captain Phil, whatever, and I got to meet him. So I met him probably a year before he passed away. So I've had a lot of these random things, and tons of them, and I probably go into their own stories.
So what was I going to say? So what's like a big experience for you that you've like, because you've been in it for a while.
I don't
like
know.
14
I've,
years.
I have a lot of them, but the one thing I was going to say before I lose my train of thought, which I may have just lost. I may have just lost. But anyhow, you know, what's interesting about the break community is that we seem to have a lot of overlap.
Yeah.
And there seems to be a lot of commonality there between some of these, some of the breakers and stuff like that, and cars. So I don't know. So there was that, but I really wish I remembered exactly where I was going with this whole thing. But hey, listen, I don't.
All right,
but I don't.
But yeah, like that's, like I said, that's one of the things. Like, it's very similar to b-boying. You know, what I mean, the like, I, you know, I have a friend of mine who also, you know, he, once I told him, Because yeah, sometimes I don't like to, you know, I don't like to be in front of the camera. I'm very weird. Like
I don't either. But yeah, to be honest. Yeah.
But sometimes my friend, like one of my friends, messaged the Instagram, kind of tagged Koenig, and I was like, "Hey, yo, it's Lewis from, you know." Right. He's like, "What the heck? How like, you answer
why would
me?"
You be...
He was like, "Why is Koenig like writing back to me?" And it was because he was a friend of mine. I knew his name is Ben. He's actually a graph artist too. And yeah, but that's what I said. It's a very small community, but it's dope because it's that grassroots type of thing.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's one of the things that I can compliment Koenig about, that I think as a fan of Koenig as well, even though I work here, is that we keep it very grassroots. And you know, I don't know if that sounds kind of corny, but I hope some of you understand what I mean, that we're not trying to, you know, we're not, you know, let me, you know, selling out. Some of these companies out there selling out.
I mean, listen, I didn't say that, and that's not how I mean it. But
this is me as a fan talking. You know what I mean? So,
I don't think too much of it. I think that what's good for us is as car enthusiasts, and you know, now you see that from being around, you know, for so many years, that a lot of our decisions that we make and a lot of the stuff that we put out there, and a lot of the, whether it be wheel designs or fitments or people we get involved with or support of programs that are grassroots, really is just from the love of trying to spread the love of what we love.
And that's the truth. You know, like I said, as a fan, you know, and this is the truth, you know, and seeing how it works in here. I know a lot of you guys, you know, don't really know because you're not, you know, obviously you don't work here, but it's very real here. Like, you know, Scott keeps it very real. It's not fake. You know, it's very, we try to be hands-on. You know, it's, I think it's, that's the dope part about Koenig, that they don't fake the funk, as we say. You know what I mean?
Wow. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but, you know, I think what's interesting is that, you know, I've had so many of these different experiences over the years that, you know, we had the opportunity to bring you to have, you know, some experience. And, you know, there's just so much that happens, you know, at SEMA, you know, would be behind the scenes or whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
And to have those experiences and do some of these things, it's pretty interesting.
It is, for sure. Like I said, if you ever get a chance to, definitely show up. And another thing I wanted to talk about, even though we're not allowed to say it, this year's booth is going to look official. I know what's gonna go on in there, and you guys are going to have your mind blown with Koenig's booth this year. So,
well, listen, I hope so, but I don't know that I would say like super mind blown. I think it's going to be. I think it'll be okay. I mean,
if you say so. See, he's got to be a humble guy all the time, but. Sometimes you got to know when to say, yeah, you know what? We rock this one. And I think this one, out of the time that I've been here, this one's going to be my favorite booth.
I think that the hard part is that you start to do this, you know, when this stuff is your job and you start to do this year after year, you get to a point where you know, you've seen things, you've done things. You have certain years that you feel were better than others and you know, like, oh, like that's going to be tough to beat or that's whatever. Or I wish I had the vibe from this one and into that one. So.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
No, this one, like I said, this one, and this is, you know, maybe too, because like you said, every year you have to step it up. So maybe that's why I'm like, you know, maybe next year I'll be like, yeah, no, you know what, this year. No, but I feel, for real though, it's just because of what the setup is, and I know the setup, and it's very different than what you've done the last few years, what we've done the last few years. And this one is just going to be, it's a little packed in there, but.
It's tight.
But it's a little tight, but you'll understand what I mean when you see it. You know?
We got a space this year and decided that, you know, we got enough space and we're like, you know what, this is fine. We don't really need to do anymore. SEMA is pretty expensive. So like if you don't need it, so anyhow, so we got enough space for three cars and our product. And somewhere about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, I had this brilliant idea that, you know what, I bet you we could fit four cars.
Give you guys some butter right now. So this
I bet you we could fit four cars.
You get some exclusivo right now.
And so we're jamming them in, baby. Oh. I mean, it's going to be tight.
Oh, now you
listen,
know.
I just remembered before what I was going to say about the whole 14 years thing. I got off track there. So listen, for 14 years, I've gone to SEMA and I've done all these different experiences and I have been blessed to have some really incredible experiences, meet people that, I met Paul Walker there. You know what I mean? Like I've met a bunch of celebrities, and not that necessarily I'm super driven by celebrities, but I think to have the opportunity to meet them when you're not a fan waiting in line for an autograph, when they come over to you to just or come over to your company because you've worked together in some capacity or you've done something with them or they're just dropping by to say hello, or you have mutual friends that bring them into a booth just to have a conversation. Mm-hmm. It's a different relationship than, you know, if you're, you know, a fan waiting for an autograph, right?
Yes, 100%.
But one of the things I hadn't ever done in all my time there, except for, you know, so I'm now 13, I was 13 or 12 years into the show, was I never went to a Las Vegas show while I was there for SEMA.
Oh.
I had been there, right? Like, I had been to Las Vegas before, you know, to hang out or have fun. And I've been to shows, but I had never gone to a show during SEMA. So now comes the break community, and what's so funny? Luis says,
shout out to my boy Bam.
Right. Luis says to me, like, hey, like to all of us, he's like, hey, do you guys want to go hang out and go see my friend dance tonight? And, you know, to us, we're like, I don't know. Like, you know, I don't know if we're going to be going out to watch your friend dance kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, he's, you know, he's in a show. And, you know, when you hear a show and dancers in Las Vegas, you're like, oh, I don't know. Like, you know. And Luis says, no, he's in this show. Like, where was it? What hotel was it?
MGM.
Right? Yeah. So hopefully we're allowed to say that.
Yeah. I mean.
Anyhow. So we go to this show. Yeah, so he says, I said, well, what show is it? He goes, oh, it's the Jabberwockies. Now, if you've ever watched, I don't know what show that they were on, America's Got Talent, one of those.
Yeah, they were on,
they won, So You Could Think You Dance or something.
So You Think You Could Dance, something like
no,
that.
No,
yeah.
It wasn't that. I don't know. It was one of those shows.
Yeah, it was on MTV, right? Wasn't it?
No, I don't think so. Anyhow.
They won some.
They won something. Look them up.
Yeah, they were.
Look them up. Yeah. So he says, you want to go watch the Jabberwockies? I vaguely remembered him. I looked him up and was like, oh, I know who these people are. I've seen them on the show. So he says, we're going to a show. So we do.
Mm-hmm.
We decide, what the heck, right?
Yeah.
So
we're literally at the show, like, trying to watch because we're still tired from the whole day. But
we get to the show, and Luis is like, oh. Now, we're standing in a line full of people waiting to go in to hand their ticket in to get a seat mm-hmm. for the show.
Mm-hmm.
It's a legit show. Like, not this is, like, on their like, you know, list of big-time shows there
like
the hotel.
Once you get into Vegas, you see, like, a huge sign
all
already.
All the billboards and everything. So, yeah. So he says, we're going to go see the Jabberwockies show. I'm like, all right, you know, whatever. What the hell? Why not, right?
Yeah.
So we get there, and, you know, immediately, all of a sudden, the two girls that were, like, doing the hosting and the seating, they come right over to you and take us right inside, and they give us this booth.
Yeah, we got a little VIP treatment and everything. But
it's pretty crazy, right?
Yeah,
the show was good.
Yeah,
the show was great. Yeah. The show was great. And I had a great time meeting your friend.
Yep, Bam.
He was off that night. He wasn't in the show that night.
So
but
he got to kick it with us. Yeah.
Right, but it was super great.
Yeah, we got to meet them, and we got to go.
Well,
to
the, right.
Yeah, yeah.
So we watched this show,
mm-hmm.
and then afterward, we get to go back.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. We get to meet all the dancers.
I feel like if I tell them what happened backstage, it will give away their secrets. Well, it will probably give away their secrets, won't it?
Like what?
Well, do you remember the whole thing with when you walked in on the right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. When they were just like
standing
still?
That's probably – is that their secret that we just gave it away?
No, I don't think so, yeah.
So listen, so we walk into this and you may not care. So if you don't care, I mean – just give us a thumbs up and a subscribe and go ahead. You can leave now. But so we walk in and there's like these costumes, which I think are hanging, you know, the Jabberwocky costumes.
Oh, that's right.
Like hanging on the wall.
That's what you're saying. Okay.
And you don't think of anything of it. And there's Jabberwockies in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
They have like, you know, the background that's all there to take pictures in front of. And they do like little meet and greets afterwards, but not for everybody, just for a few people.
Yeah.
So what ends up happening is there's people taking pictures. We wait. We get up front. We do a little whatever. You know, Bam was with us, mm-hmm. and he works the show. So he clearly brought a lot of the people in, and it was cool. So we got some cool photos, which is fun.
Yeah.
Our two worlds colliding.
Yeah.
But the best part is I'm 10 feet away waiting for the photo. Oh, the two costumes up the wall. They like the Jabberwocky costumes.
Out,
like, jump
we,
us off
we
the
thought
wall.
It was like a fake. But they stood there, like, for a long time, too, which is great.
A long time. And it almost looked like the costumes were literally, like, just hanging on the wall.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, I mean, shows you how gifted they are.
Yeah,
that they can hold that composure for such a long time.
Yeah.
But
that was the first time I watched the show, too. And it was – but that's very cool.
It was a good show.
That was a very cool experience.
Yeah.
And you're right. Like I said, it goes hand in hand, and even a lot of them already knew that SEMA was going on. They knew about Koenig.
Right.
You know, so it was very cool. Yeah.
But it's funny because if you – maybe I should post the photo. I'm not sure if I will. But if you look at the photo that we took,
mm-hmm.
right, the dancers, like all the Jabberwockies look super cool in the photo. And Luis is a break. You know, he breaks. He looks super cool in the photo. He's got the right poses. Bam is one of the job walkies and a break. So he looks super cool in the photo. And then there's three of us from Kona.
You got Al. Yeah.
Al, Jim, and me. And we're just standing around. And we look like, you know what I mean? Like really, really bad. So it wasn't hard to figure out who was the cool ones in that photo. Anyhow.
Yeah.
Anything else you can give people that may not have gotten that, you know, that feeling or what it was like, or walking through the show or car? I mean, you can walk through. I've said this before to people on the podcast. SEMA is one of those things where you can walk through and $250,000 cars will just be lined up and you just don't think anything of them. You just keep walking past them because it becomes like sensory overload.
Yeah.
There's so much going on that, you know, you begin to like almost detune what's in front of you.
Yeah.
Because you're looking for certain things at some point, because it's just every – you can't stop and look at every single thing. You can barely make it through what you're trying to get to.
Yeah. Like I said, I mean, and I'm going to consistently say, because I think that's the main part that I felt, was the feeling of being able to see these things first, seeing a lot of reveals, seeing a lot of new products, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, you know, with Koenig, I get to see, but, you know, I also, luckily through this job, I get to interact with a lot of these industry people, like, for instance, like the Nitto, and, you know, a lot of Nitto works very closely with Scott and stuff like that. And I got to meet them, but I also get to see a lot of the reveals of their new products. So I get to walk around and be like, oh my God, I can't believe, like, you know, this is what they were talking about, or this is what's coming next, you know, and I get to see that firsthand, which is something that I can never replace, you know, especially working in this industry now.
Yeah.
You know, because I know how exciting it is when we release something.
Yeah.
So far, I agree. You know, the other way, now me as a fan seeing it the other way around is really cool.
Yeah. You know what's interesting for us is that my most exciting time for SEMA, besides the Red Eye Home, is, you know, we develop a lot of wheels all year long. And, you know, most of the wheels come down to the wire. Whether it be, you know, if you're fine tuning things, whatever it may be, but, you know, we see a lot of renderings, we see a lot of pictures of our wheels, brand new wheels before we launch them. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we are far enough ahead that we can get samples brought to the office, but a lot of times our first time seeing a sample or the brand new wheels in person is on the show floor at SEMA. A lot of times what happens is we air freight them in just enough time that they either end up in our California warehouse to get packed into the van driving over to the show, or we have them sent right to the show because we're just that tight on, you know, finalizing colors, fitments, whatever it may be, and getting the wheels over here, you know, all said and done. And, you know, one of my most enjoyable things about SEMA is that moment where I can walk over to the new wheels, take them out of the box, look at them, like really, really appreciate them in person. And, you know, sometimes we pull some stuff out and I'm like, I wish I had done this a little bit different or that a little bit different. Mm-hmm. But there's other times you pull it out and you're like, man, like this is it, right?
Yeah.
You know, I certainly felt like that with the Hypergram. We felt like that beforehand too. Like when we were working on it, it felt like that.
And this is one of the cool things too, that also seeing that as well, but also because we're not haters here, you know what I mean? I appreciate other wheel designs too.
Yeah, so do I.
So I walk around and I'm like, wow, like, you know, how'd they come up with this? You know what I mean? Or, you know, just the fact that, you know, the mine is running, so you get to see these other companies who are amazing companies create their own versions of what they're doing. You know what I mean? And it's just amazing.
Right. Like, and as a car guy, I mean, you know, maybe not a ton right now, but like always years past when I was building a lot of cars. I mean, now I have two kids, so like, you know, driving my car is my accomplishment lately. I still work on it a lot, but, you know, but like what I'm saying is like I used to have four projects kind of constantly going. So getting to the ability to be able to walk up to some of the companies and just have conversations with them, products that I was going to buy.
Yeah.
Is pretty exciting in person. And that's, you know, usually you don't get that opportunity at SEMA unless you're a shop owner or, you know, a buyer or something to that effect. But that was always something I enjoyed. And you're right. Even with wheel designs, I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff that you know, you walk through the wheel and tire hall and you're like, damn, like, this is fantastic.
Yeah, yeah,
they
yeah.
did a great job here.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, like, you know, I love that. That's one of the things that I love to, you know. And like I said, that's the other thing, you know, getting to meet people that I, you know, get to talk to and stuff like that. That's one of my pluses, too, because I've never, you know, I talk to them a lot on email, but I never get to meet them face to face. So it's a lot of worlds colliding all at one time. And it's kind of like, yo, what's up, man? Like, me and you email back and forth. Like, I kind of feel like I know you, dude, you know? Like, right. So that's exciting for me to kind of see those type of people there and just the industry all being together. You know, and that's just fun to me. You know what I mean? That was definitely fun for me.
Yeah, cool. I don't know. I think we did it down for Wheel Wednesday.
Yeah.
Because I know that, like, as soon as we hit stop and stop recording, we got to go back to the SEMA grind. Oh, we literally have a SEMA meeting right after this because we have so much. It's incredible. A show that, you know, the dates, like, we, as soon as the SEMA show is over this year, they will put up the dates for the next SEMA.
Yep. And you're kind of prepping for it already mentally, which is weird.
But what's interesting is no matter how much you plan or how much you try to do in advance, it always comes down to the wire.
It does. It does. I noticed that.
You can't get away from it. Even when you'll be like we'll start deep into August, like, you know, beginning of August, or sometimes even the end of June, you'll be like, look, why don't we just knock out these things because we know we can do them, and we'll start to – everything changes so much.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. It's always – yeah. But it's at the same time, that's what makes it exciting, though.
Yeah.
I'm the type of person, I think you are too, the pressure kind of makes it fun. As long as it gets done, then you're like, all right, maybe. We got it done, you know.
Maybe. But,
you know, yeah, maybe.
I don't right. I don't need the pressure to be fun. But I don't know. I just wanted to give you it was kind of SEMA was on our mind, and, you know, I don't think you guys on Wheel Wednesday have met. No, you haven't met Luis yet.
Never. No.
So we brought him on. I figured introduce him to you guys.
There'll probably be a few people who I talk to that will probably watch this too. So, what's up, guys? I'm Luis. Nice to meet you guys.
Luis, yeah. Whatever one you want to call.
Luis.
So,
yeah. En español. Español, Luis.
Right. So, anyhow. So, I think that's it for Wheel Wednesday. Hopefully, you enjoyed this. If you do, give it a little. And, you know, go ahead and subscribe. That'd be cool. And we dropped some other things last week. The end of last week, we dropped Sally McNulty's car walk around. Yep. So she kind of took us through. If you don't know who Sally McNulty is, she's a Time Attack driver, and she drives in World Challenge and some different things. She has an STI that we walked around, and her STI is pretty awesome. She calls it her Project Not So Daily. Because it was her daily driver, and now it's not. And the car is like over 550 horsepower STI, IAG, short block, the whole thing. I mean, great looking car. So go check that out. Throw her some love. Throw a little, you know, like in on that video. Let us know what you think. And aside from that, I think we will be back with you next Wednesday. I hope we'll be back with you next Wednesday. I don't know. So that's it. For more info on the podcast, head over to koenigwiz.com/podcast. And if you don't mind, throw us a subscribe, like. I think we've said it a bunch of times. If that's cool. And if you have any information or something you saw that you liked or want some more information on, go ahead and leave a comment. We appreciate it. We'll get back to you. And that's it. So until next Wednesday. Peace.